Here we are this morning, and happy to now huddle around the Word and trust that you will feel strengthened upon leaving here this morning from our worship, from our testimony, praying for one another, and especially from coming to the Word together. And I'd like you to look at Colossians. It's in the New Testament. Colossians, it's not Collisions. It's Colossians. And Colossians was Colossae, here in the New Testament. It was a real place, real people, and some things are said to them. A real scorcher, if you will, of a passage of Scripture I want to get. It's so hot. Man, this thing is burning. Chapter 3, starting at verse 12. Okay? This is where we want to camp this morning. Colossians chapter 3, just a couple of verses, 12, 13, and 14. Chapter 3, if you're still looking, is after chapter 2. Very good. All right? So let's read it here. I'm going to read it from two different versions. The first, of course, is the NIV. And then, of course, my favorite from Peterson, how he puts it in the Message. But listen to what he says here. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people. Now, listen and really listen, okay? Or as you're reading along, look at the words that are being spoken. God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Now, you know, you might say, well, you know, it's like, who, me? Yes, you. He says, clothe yourselves. Notice the metaphor, the imagery that you're supposed to get. Put on, you know, dress up with. What's the first one? Compassion. Kindness. There's five in all that he lists immediately. Humility. Gentleness and patience. Bear with each other. In other words, put up with one another. Put up with one another, but bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. And then he throws this kicker in there. It's like whenever the Bible speaks about forgiveness, it's not enough just to say forgive. There's always an added zinger in there with this whole area, in this whole area of forgiveness, because it's big, it's huge. He says, whatever grievances, for heaven's sake, forgive one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Wow. That's to measure our forgiveness. And then verse 14. And over all these virtues, over all of this, it's like the overcoat that you want to put on. He says, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let's pray before I read from Peterson. Father, in Jesus' name, that as we're here together and we're huddled around your word now, that God, that there would be a nourishing that would take place. We're your people. We need to be fed. And God, as you would use me as your instrument, as your servant to do that, that in my words, that we would feel your heart, that we would feel something from you nourishing, touching us today. Father, from this passage of Scripture, we pray your blessing in Christ's name. Amen and amen. So now, let me read it, the same passage from the Message, okay? How many of you got the Message Bible yet? Anybody? A number of you have got it. It's great. He says this. He says, so, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Then he lists the five, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even tempered, content with second place. I like that. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Lord forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. I love that last part, and I've taken it as the title for my message, your basic all-purpose garment. I like that. I like the way he puts that. Now, here we are in this, what we know as one of the epistles of Paul. What does that mean? Well, here we have a letter to Christians, okay? And in this letter to Christians, we're given instructions that touch our lives. And these instructions also touch us where we live. No other book touches us where we live like this book does. God speaks to us here. Now, have you ever gotten in trouble putting something together and not really paying attention to the instructions? Yeah. How many of us have done that? Been there, done that, you know? And it's like, what's this part? How do I figure out this? And it's finally, you know, you can't do it. So it's, oh, I'll open up the instructions. That just happened to Bobby and me. We were refitting his gas stove with propane fittings. And doing the orifice for the oven was a bear. And then, you know, so we did it, and now it's time for the broiler part. And we said, you know, we thought that the instructions missed a couple of steps, and so we put the instructions aside. We got this figured out. We started taking it apart for the broiler, and it's like, where's the instructions? And it was a good thing because we overlooked a couple of steps. And so we've all been there before. And if you can look at it this way, The letters, when you read them, you know, Colossians, Thessalonians, Ephesians, Philippians, the whole Bible, in fact. These are instructions, and more than just instructions, these touch our lives. And they touch us exactly where we live. And I think this passage right here touches something in our lives. And I want to try and get at that a little bit this morning, if you're willing to go along this quick journey with me, okay? Allow us to, you know, say there's some good instructions here. Let's be careful. I mean, you know, let's pay attention to the instructions because otherwise you're going to get in trouble. The thing just isn't going to go together right. You're not going to take it apart right, and you'll probably have parts left over. You know? Have you ever gotten in trouble that way? By not paying attention to God, to the Holy Spirit, to His Word. Yeah. And so, immediately now, as we look at this passage here, as we've read it a couple of times, what's brought into focus is the idea here that I think is critical for us to get. And that is who you are and who I am. And I think that as you read through the New Testament, especially the letters, which are what? What are the letters? They give us instructions on how to live, and they touch us where we live. And so one of the main things that's brought into focus in all of these letters here as you read through them is a description of who it is that God has made us to be. It really helps us to come to grips with who I am, what I am. And I believe that most all of our problems that we face, we suffer from an identity crisis, an identity crisis. And most of it is caused simply because we fail to look closely at the instructions. What do the instructions say about who I am, what I am? And we have it here plainly spelled out for us. There's no misgivings here. He says, you are God's chosen people. Now, we have to let this sink in. This is who I am. This is what I am a part of now. This is my new identity. I'm God's chosen person. Me. How many of you listen to Rush Limbaugh? Some of you. I can't stand listening to him anymore. But I used to, and he's chosen by God. He's chosen by God and on a mission from God. Well, Rush, please give us a break, you know. But here we have it being spoken to us that we're chosen by God. And he goes further. He says, not only are you chosen, but you're holy. Ooh, me? And he says, dearly beloved. Now, in order to get there, seeing that triad, in order to get there, you got to go back in the epistle. And you got to look more closely where he spells some things out about how it is that you have become exactly those three things. And he says it, and it's not my intention to camp there. I want to go someplace else. But I just want to draw your attention to it. The first is in chapter 1 and verse 21, where he says, once you were alienated, separated, distant from God. You were, he goes on to say, enemies, in fact. Enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's redemption. This is how I got to be one of God's chosen people. He came after me and he reconciled me. He brought me back to where I belong. That night, 1972, March 1st, I got up and I said I felt like home. What had happened? God brought me back to himself. And I had this realization about me, wow, I'm home. I came together. I was separated before. I was anxious. I was alienated before. But God brought me together. That's how I got there. That's how I got to my new identity. I like chapter 3 and verse 10, where he speaks about it again. How did you get to that new identity? He says it in verse 10. He says, and you have put on the new self, excuse me, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. So there's an old self that Christ took care of on the cross. And when I came to Christ, when I got up from my knees and I said I felt different. In fact, I was a new person. I was a new creation, as it says, made new in Christ. God made me new. God brought me back to who he created me to be. It's my new identity. It is who I am now in Christ. Now, the second part is impossible. That's the first part. The first part is you got to understand who you are. You got to get there. If you don't, you'll never be able to do the second part. What's the second part? The second part is acting like it. Acting like it. Now, better said would be it this way. More than acting like it would be being like it. Be like it. In other words, okay, I'm God's chosen person, holy, I'm really loved by God. Now, be like that. You can't be like something you're not. It's impossible. But now, being like that, I really am that, well, I can act like that. I can. And so, he says, as he talks here in this passage, he's talking to us now about just that. Act like it. Be like that. And in particular, he's talking about what we call Christian virtues. That is to say, qualities that make up my life. And so I look at these qualities. I look at compassion. And I have to ask myself, is that a quality that makes up my life? I have to look at kindness. And I say, okay, is kindness a quality that makes up my life? And as I think about each of these, I try to think about a mental picture of what that looks like. For instance, compassion. I was reading a little bit this past week about the Good Samaritan, the different contexts. But the Good Samaritan, you know, we all know the story from Luke's Gospel, the Good Samaritan, right? Two guys who should have stopped and helped a guy out who got beat up, kept on walking straight on by, right? Another guy comes who really should have kept on walking on by because they really didn't click. Did what? Stopped and helped them out. He was having what? Compassion on the guy in the ditch, the Good Samaritan. We know about that. When it comes to kindness, you know, not so common courtesies when it comes. If you ever receive a text from me, for instance, and I just blurt something out into your life, I consider that to be unkind. In fact, discourteous. Whenever you receive a text from, now that's just me, it's one of my things. When you receive a text from me, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to say, oh, hey, hi. Good morning, good afternoon. How you doing? And then we'll talk. Kindness. No, that's so tip of the iceberg. But courtesies, not so common courtesies. Kindness. Is humility in my life? Humility. You know, do we make people feel like they got to come up to us? You ever been around people like that? You know, they just got it all together, you know, and it's like they make you just feel. Or are we able to come down to where people are at? Humility. Is there humility in my life? Gentleness. You know, gentleness. You ever see a bull in a china shop? Ooh, bull in a china shop. You know. Not welcome. Gentleness. He calls these things virtues, qualities in our lives. And here's a tough one. You know, Lord, I'm asking you for patience because you know I need it. And could you help me out by giving it to me by the end of the day? Patience. Patience. And here's the thing about all of these qualities that I have found in my own life. Say, Lord, boy, you know, there's just, I know there's a lack of compassion in my life. Guess what you'll be given an opportunity to do that day in your life? Help someone who has been beat up and thrown into a ditch. And here's the deal. 9 times out of 10, you'll be on your way someplace with a commitment, and if you don't get there, you're going to be late, which will obscure, which will cause you not even to notice the compassion that you should be extending. That's more important than making your appointment. Come on now. Lord, I need patience, and immediately you're put into a situation where what? And so I ask myself the question on all of these things, what kind of threshold is in my life for humility? For all of these things. And then he says, so he says, now listen, put these things on. This is what a person is like who has this new identity. The person who has been redeemed but has this new. Now we're not talking perfection. That's a whole different topic. But man, we're struggling through these things. Now let's look at the next one. Okay? Look at the next one here. He says, put on first of all, clothe yourselves, and then he says, bear with each other. Now, bear with each other, you know. Put up with one another. And he talks about it in the context of forgiveness. And forgiveness is big. Here's the thing about Christian forgiveness. You know you've forgiven someone when you don't bring it up again. And you know you haven't when you bring it up. I forgive you, but. Have you ever said that before? I forgive you, but. You know. What you did is inexcusable. Could never forgive that. And I like the way he puts it. You know, it's like, whatever grievances you may have. You ever have a grievance with someone? You ever file a complaint? And I'm registering my grievance against you. And don't get me wrong, I don't think that, you know, that there, it's okay to have that kind of thing. I mean, people do stupid things to us and we do stupid things to people. Always remember that it's a two-way street. But where does forgiveness figure into the equation? Where does forgiveness come in? Forgiveness. Then he says, and over all these virtues, put on love. Put on love. And this is the way I like to look at it. Someone has said, the truth stops being the truth when it is not put forward and expressed in love. We heard that scripture verse. We know that scripture verse from Ephesians where it says, speak the truth how? In love. And sometimes the way in which we come across and we say things to our spouses, we say things to other people, and we justify our impatience, we justify our unkindness, if you will, we justify our lack of compassion. Well, it is the truth. And the truth is the truth is the truth is the truth. Regardless how I packaged it, it's the truth. I like the way this person says it. He says, if it's in the wrong package, the truth, it stops being the truth if it's not expressed in love. There's something that we do to the truth when it's not expressed in love. You know? And I know, and we're not going to talk about these kinds of things, to think that, well, if it's going to be expressed in love, I have to say, well, you know. Let's have a little chat. And we try to candy it, you know, to make it palatable. Well, sometimes love hurts. But that's not the point that I'm making here. You know, the point that I'm making is that we got to put on love. And with each of these things, notice what he says. He says you got to clothe yourselves in this stuff. And actually what he's saying is you got to put this stuff on. Put it on. And then again he says it a second time. At the end of this passage, put on love. Put on love. Again, he packages it. He begins and he ends the paragraph with that. And the idea there is that, you know what? It takes some effort on our part. You know? It doesn't all come so automatically, does it? You know? Just have something to forgive in somebody else. Just have something to forgive. Just have an occasion which calls for patience, humility, compassion. And you know that there's an effort in putting it on. You know? And so I want to end with asking the question, where do we start? Where do we start with this kind of stuff? Where do we start? How do I get this? Well, I would look at it like this. And, you know, I dislike using cliches as points in my messages, but I think this one fits and we'll all get it anyways. And that is this. Where do we start? How do we get these things? I read this passage, I look at it. We don't need a whole lot of commentary sermonizing on this to make it palatable. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? And it's like, well, okay, what do we do? Where do we start? What's the Nike slogan? Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. That's where we start. And let me just add to that to round it out. Okay? Just do it. And there's lots of things that work against us from just doing it. Again, to harp on this whole area of forgiveness. Well, you don't know what they said to me. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they're saying about me. You don't know what they're doing to me. Okay? as to be that kind of force field that we put up to block us from forgiving the grievance. We haven't even said a whole lot about how it is that the Lord has forgiven us. But nevertheless, look at it this way, okay? And I take this from something C.S. Lewis said. He says this. He says, very often, the only way to get a virtue, the only way to get a quality, the only way to get these virtues working in our lives, in reality, of really where we live, is to start behaving as if you have it already. That's the way. Now, there's a lot of things that work against that. What's one biggie? Anybody got an idea? You say, well, I'm going to act like it, even though I don't want. Believe it. Feel like it. And this is the trick, that I behave like it, though I don't feel like it. And what eventually happens, he says here, I like what he says. He says, very often the only way to get a quality in reality is start to behave like it. Not believe like it, not feel like it, but behave like it, and you'll get it. You know, we admire athletes who, we look at their talent, and we say, how'd they do that? It's just amazing. Anybody watch the Honda Open yesterday? Golf? No? God, the guy, he hit this shot, made an eagle. It bounced right in the cup. I mean, two shots. I forget what the yardage was. It was amazing. And you watch these guys. And, you know, Phil Mickelson was a beautiful stroke, and Tiger Woods, of so many of them. And you say, well, how'd they get that way? You know, that it, and we admire them. Others, you know, other sports, other athletes. And they have become so conditioned. Their muscles, all of their thinking, everything has become so in line that it has become second nature to them, right? In all of these things. And so it is with these things here. That what might at first be a chore, I got to behave like this, eventually becomes something that is very natural, second nature to us. I found this happened to me the other day, and I close with this. I had a situation where a particular person got a little angry, upset at me, for no reason in particular. I know that's hard to believe. But I did absolutely nothing to deserve this person's anger. Nothing. In fact, it was somewhat out of character for this person or at least in our relationship, out of character. I've never known this person and gave no reason for this person to say what he did. You ever been in a situation like this? Like, what the heck? And this person spewed out venom at me. Totally caught me off guard. And my immediate reaction was, how's my halo? My immediate reaction was soft, gentle, and compliant. Oh, okay, sure, no problem. I walked away from the situation, and it upset me because this person would do that. And I had to be careful to stop thinking about letter bombs. Joking. But then on the other hand, I was like, wow, something is changing in me. That my reaction wasn't what it could have been so easily. To get in this person's face and to say, you talking to me? And if not physically doing that, at least in my mind, my immediate reaction, even though I'm biting my tongue, sure, no problem. That wasn't even there. But out of me came this, hey, okay, no problem. Sure. Okay. And it's like, wow, God, what you have done. Amazing. It's taken 42 years, God, but you've done it. You've done it in my life. You've done it. You know? So let's stand together in His presence. I commend this word to you today. I commend this word to you today. The title of the message is Your Basic All-Purpose Garment. Christian virtues, this love thing that we're talking about. You know? It's easy to love from a distance. It's very difficult to love up close and personal. It's easy to love on the honeymoon. When you get back and you're back in the reality of things and you discover things about each other that... What's love got to do with it then? Tina, it's got a lot to do with it, baby. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we look at this word this morning. And God, we open our hearts to you. God, I know, you know what? This is just meat and potato stuff, meat and potato Christian stuff. But God, how we need it, how I need it, especially in my relationships, that I would reflect Christian virtues of that good work of God that's going on inside of me. Lord, coming to terms, coming to grips with who I am, what you've made me to be, and that I might be like that in all the situations that my life presents. In Christ's name, I commit this word to your people. Bless them, I pray. Amen. God bless you, folks.